You're listening to Conversations on the Avenue, a podcast brought to you by Elsa Cal. I'm Vinita Bhardwaj, and we're continuing our series on Fabricated Fractures, a collaboration between Bangladesh's Samdani Art Foundation and the UAE's Elsa Cal. If you're joining us for the first time, check out our previous episode where we introduced the exhibition and spoke to its curator, Diana Campbell Betancourt. Fabricated Fractures was held at Concrete in Elsa Cal Avenue and featured 15 artists from Bangladesh, India, Nepal, Thailand, and Pakistan, who are also part of the Foundation's Dhaka Art Summit initiative. Fabricated Fractures is a multi-sensory experience. Textiles layer the tall concrete wall, paying an homage to Bangladesh's traditional weaving heritage, and are a symbol of its inextricable place within the modern, political, globalized economy. The enormous collage is the work of Bangladeshi activist and artist Kamaruzzaman Shaheen, and it is a monument to the victims of human-created catastrophes. Made from clothing belonging to Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh and Bangladeshi victims of illegal human trafficking to Southeast Asia, the colourful installation was stitched together by internally displaced climate change refugees. It is a stark and grim reminder of the traumas inflicted on people by people. Thai artist Jakai Siriputur collected fragments of clothing belonging to Rohingya refugees that washed up on the shores of Thailand and Myanmar to create flags of imaginary nations that could offer safe passage and refuge. The textiles and Indian photographer Pablo Bartholomew's installation represent the shared identity of the geographically fractured Chakma communities in Myanmar, India and Bangladesh. And modern Bangladeshi master Rashid Chaudhary brings together motifs from Buddhist, Hindu, Islamic and animist folklore into jute tapestries. But on opening night, the whispers of audiences are drowned out by a monotonous, repetitive droning created by 36 musicians playing a series of three notes on their harmoniums.
I was just interested into creating noise, not really a rhythm or even a music.
Ritu Sater is a theatre actor, director and performance artist. Her piece, Harano Shur, or Lost Tune, is a film that focuses on the harmonium, a musical instrument tightly integrated into the culture of Bangladesh, but one that is fast disappearing. The film documents a performance that brought together musicians, each playing the same three notes, as Ritu used the sustained droning sounds to explore the violence and social upheaval affecting Bangladesh. For the opening and closing of the show, Ritu gathered South Asian male and female musicians from across the UAE to perform the piece live.
It is lost tune, I'm saying, but it is kind of like, you know, the way our habits, our traditions, the way we grow up, also the way wannabe artists drifts away into the time with life, with the necessity of life and all of this. So when I literally explain to them why I really need the artists from the locality wherever the performance is going, the artists who wanted to be artists in their life, but because of migration, because of the necessity of life, because of not recognizing the true art at the right moment, they just become a minority even in their own families with the want of being an artist.
Now, there's so much about the notion of space in this particular exhibition. Is there a space for musicians in Bangladesh? You've sort of articulated in a way that it's a shrinking space. What is happening to that space? What's that larger space being filled up with now?
No, the work is not actually about musicians particularly. It's about artists in general, or it's about people who have open thoughts. So the musicians or the instrument is a metaphorical representation of that kind of thoughts. Like the noise is also, to me, is a noise like, you know, living in a small country beside a big country, also struggling with the big catastrophes happening all around you. But as an individual, when you just, you know, stand and watch happening all of this, and you cannot really do anything. Also, like the way modernity just, you know, comes to you and just, you know, takes everything away without even you noticing.
It's like a flood.
It's like a flush of light coming to you, and suddenly you are just, you know, you just went with that light, and suddenly you noticed, oh my God, where am I? So everything I wanted to contain with this very slow process, because although I am saying it like a flush of light or a flood, things happen very slowly. And we say ourselves we are adjusting, we are coping, but at the same time, we are also actually getting used to it.
You talk a lot about noise. There's also a lot of noise on social media.
Yes, social media is, you know, I really, it's not that I liked it, but somehow Arundhati Rai was in Dhaka and she was saying social media is the toilet of what happens, you know, in real. Maybe it's really outrageous to say it this way, but again, sometimes we use social media as the mirror of what happens in real.
Social media in South Asia in particular is falling under greater scrutiny as it's demonstrated a pernicious capacity to misinform and whip up mob frenzy. Bangladesh has not been immune to its insidious impact as witnessed by the tragic Ramu incident of 2012, when a fake social media message led to the destruction of Buddhist temples and loss of many Buddhist lives and homes. It features within Fabricated Fractures through Kanak Champa Chakma's collage entitled Soul Piercing.
The noise created by social media in these countries, it's also lack of education, lack of awareness. And the kind of things happened in Bangladesh, it was hard to imagine. The way 150-year-old Ramu Buddhist temple was burnt down just from a social media incitation, it's unthinkable. And many things happened in Bangladesh and India. And you will see, like, most of the things happen in villages and in remote areas. This kind of knowledge is, this kind of incidents are the biggest example of, you know, how we have created disparities between the, you know, upper class, middle class, lower class, by education, by money, by social status and everything.
Given the power of WhatsApp and its ability to foment trouble, the responsibility at the curatorial level is tremendous. And Diana Campbell-Betancourt is extremely conscious of her role as the Artistic Director of Samdani Art Foundation and Chief Curator Dhaka Art Summit.
I have a huge responsibility as a curator navigating those lines, so I have to constantly know when they're drawn. And I really like the title of this Sharjah Biennial, which is, was it Leaving the Echo Chamber? So I think it's really important to leave my echo chamber. So, for example, if there's a work that I think might be sensitive, I will show it to, like, the guy who makes me tea in the office. I will show it to people outside of my kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, class bubble. And I'm actually usually positively surprised.
And yet, as we return to the notion of space as characterized by nations, states, and regions, what does it mean to be Bangladeshi? And is there space to accommodate the diversity within its borders?
It is discussed here, even in Harnoshu. Prior to 1971, the kind of music we used to practice, the kind of language we fought for in 1952, Bangla, and the kind of clothes we always like to wear, saris. Post-71, we are still actually fighting with our diverse knowledge of identities, because we are actually not like any, you know, stereotypical one religion country. We actually lived side by side with other religions, other religious identities, and that's what made us so special. In this last 48 years, it is now actually trying to find its one mono identity that is also influenced by the world politics.
Does that worry you?
That doesn't worry me. It's a matter of observation how a nation changes and which route it takes and how does it take and how you find your identity in a very volatile world politics and economic situation.
Is it complex in terms of having to keep art for art's sake or try and make a statement with every piece?
Isn't it natural that you react to unjust inequalities? isn't it natural that, you know, you will talk about when your freedom of speech is attacked? So what makes you activist? And then if you're an artist, how you are actually in a different space, I totally deny it. Because as a human being, I cannot really avoid what happens around me. And as an artist, I am really more sensitive to this. But again, when I am sitting in my room, I cannot really avoid what my subconscious tells me. It can be totally different than what is happening in reality, but that is not art for art's sake.
Many children are feared dead in an attack by the Taliban on a military-run school in northern Pakistan.
At least 141 people killed, 132 of them children. CCTV's Jim Stoner.
Aisha Jatoi's installation called Residue is her response to a deadly 2014 attack on a school in Pakistan. 132 of the victims were schoolchildren between the ages of 8 and 18 years, making it one of the world's deadliest school massacres.
This was a series of terrorist attacks that were happening in Pakistan. And Pakistan is known to be like the terrorist, I don't know, home, and like all Muslims are terrorists and bad or something like that. And at that time, we were scared to go to the market. We were scared to send our children to school, to walk on the road, at bus stops, at schools, markets, everywhere. So I did this kind of research-based work where I recorded where all the terrorist attacks happened since 9/11. And there were like tens of thousands of attacks and many people had died. And I just wanted to bring to light how it's not about Muslim versus the world, or it's like when humanity turns onto humanity, how bad, you know, the consequences can be. And really that's what terrorism is, like to bring you into this fear so you can live.
In the piece, folded white clothes, including school uniforms and other garments belonging to children, women and men, lie in piles on the floor, reminding us of the fragility of life and serving as symbols of grieving for the missing or dead.
I can't get over this idea. And just innocent children and people in markets and elderly people, someone in an act of worship who's being killed is just very difficult to comprehend.
White is the funereal color of South Asia, and the piles lend a corpse-like presence to the piece. Bleached of color, it is a visual provocation of someone missing, something lost, and someday to be remembered. For the opening of the show, Aisha is surrounded by her installation, moving slowly between the piles, folding and unfolding the clothes. It is a reflective performance, insisting we pause and absorb as we watch her fold and unfold, carefully, meditatively.
I had done a performance piece before which was talking against state violence in our intersections in Pakistan. We have fighter jets and symbols of war. And I had done a piece called Clothesline where I had used the fighter jet at an intersection as a clothesline. So I had hung dyed red garments on it. And that was in 2006. And for 10 years, I never even thought of doing any performance. I mean, there was nothing that moved me so much to do something. And exactly like you said, folding is meditative. And I think it's kind of like where you're trying to make sense out of the senseless and just, I don't know, zoning out and doing something repetitive. And it's an act of love to wash someone's clothes because you're in a familiar sort of environment. And to put away things after someone's gone, it's like, how do you put away love and longing and like a bond, which, and then you have these physical remains left.
Fabricated Fractures ran from March 9th to March 30th at Concrete and Al Serkal Avenue in Dubai. This episode was brought to you by Al Serkal Avenue and was hosted by me, Vanita Bharadwaj. Editing and production support by Chirag Desai. We'd love it if you could subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any podcast player, as well as streaming apps like Spotify and Ngami. And if you really enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends. For more information about the exhibitions and events on the Avenue, visit alsercalavenue.ae or follow Alsercal Avenue on Instagram. That's AlserkalAvenue. We'll be back soon with more from the Avenue. Until then, thank you for listening.